Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
Welcome in, everybody, to The Breakaway. I'm your host, Connor Sutton, and on this episode of Match Week Edition, Alicia Rodriguez, SB Nation, and IndomitableCitySoccer.com. She is fantastic. If you don't, check her out. You can follow her on Twitter at Soccer Musings. IndomitableCitySoccer.com does a lot of terrific work, not only covering Sac Republic, but other teams in the USL as well. One of the reasons why I wanted to have her on as we talk about who she thinks has the best chance to come out of the Group A, Group B, four-team slot in the playoffs. So we'll see what she says about that. Don't forget, you can get your playoff fan pack for this upcoming week's playoff match. Get all your swag, and you can pick it up this Saturday, October 3rd at Cal Expo Main Gate from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. A Sac Republic bag, flag, glasses, stickers, bottles, and who knows, there might be a little surprise in there as well, maybe a jersey. I don't know. I didn't say that, but just a possibility. You might get lucky. Playoff fan packs. It's presented by Gig, who will be our presenting partner of the countdown to playoffs. As we just got announced, Sac Republic will, in fact, be playing against Phoenix Rising next Saturday. Oh, boy. But again, October 3rd, that is tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can just stay in your car. We'll bring it out to you at Cal Expo Main Gate for the playoff fan pack. And coming up next week, lots and lots of fun stuff. So stay tuned. National Coaches Day, we'll have a virtual roundtable on Tuesday, October 6th, with head coach Mark Briggs and academy director Dennis Sanchez. I'll be there as well, but I won't really have any use as a coach, but I'll be basically moderating it, which will be a lot of fun. Looking forward to listening, learning, and hopefully some of you guys join us for that as well. We will also be having some daily challenges on social media, Twitter, Facebook, IG. If you don't, please follow us all on all of those channels, Sac Republic, or at Sac Republic FC, on all of those channels. And then more. It's coming. A lot more is coming. So just stay tuned. Next week, we will have playoff edition of The Breakaway. A lot of fun stuff coming up next week as we prepare for playoffs. And the countdown to playoffs, of course, presented by Gig. All right, let's get to Alicia Rodriguez. All right, Sacramento. She covers your Sacramento Republic for SB Nation on IndomitableCitySoccer.com. Alicia Rodriguez, and I have to say before we start, this is the second time we're recording this. We're recording this on a Friday. The first file we did yesterday was ready to go up. I should say I had it mentally ready to go up, and then I don't know what happened. I corrupted the file. I still don't know what happened. And she was kind enough to come back. So thank you so much, because I was going to be in a little bit of trouble. So thank you for coming back on for the second time in 2 days.
Yeah, second time's a charm, man. I've got a really good feeling about this one.
I do as well. Was worried ahead of time. I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so bad, because I know how busy you are. You cover a lot of different teams. You have a lot going on. And so thank you so much. And I told you this yesterday, but I'm going to tell you again so everybody can hear. Got such good feedback from the last time you came on. You have such great knowledge. And looking forward to hearing what your thoughts are on playoffs coming up in the West Coast of the USL. But before we do all that, we have to quickly talk about what happened in the Phoenix Rising FC and San Diego Loyal SC match on Wednesday. And essentially, if you haven't seen, and I'll kind of slowly break it down, and I'll ask you as well, Alicia, to fill in where I missed. Allegedly, a Phoenix Rising player made a gay slur to the San Diego Loyal player who is actually out, who is actually gay. That player went and told the official. The official thought that that player was calling the official that gay slur, gave him a red card, so there was some confusion there. However, it is under investigation by the league, and of course, San Diego Loyal SC decided to walk off after the red card was rescinded, because they didn't want to stand for any types of slur or play in this situation. So, the USL has it under investigation. We just saw and we were both talking about this just a moment ago before we started. Phoenix Rising FC has put their head coach and the player on administrative leave. So, of course, and we can address this up front, soccer is not a sport. There's no place at all for racial slurs, gay slurs. I mean, there's no place for it in this game. There's really no place for it in our world. Craziness that happened on Wednesday. Did I miss anything? I think I hit everything.
I think you got the big moments there. I think the only thing is, remarkably, this is the second time in a week that something similar happened to San Diego Loyal. Last week, a player on LA Galaxy 2 said a racial slur against a player on San Diego Loyal. That in that particular situation, the player did not deny saying it. In this current one, the player accused says he did not say it. So in the previous example, the player did not deny he said it. He was suspended by the league, and then following that, LA Galaxy 2 cut him, so he lost his job as a result. So it's really pretty remarkable that this has happened to the same team in the span of a week, having similar incidents like this. And I'm absolutely with you. I completely agree that there's no place for any kind of hate speech or yep. anything like that in our sport or in our society. So obviously there's investigations still going on. I think it's always something where it's difficult to know the truth, barring a, you know, Zapruder film showing exactly what's going on in the moment. But I think many people can sort of make up their minds based on the evidence that's out there. And regardless of what happened in this situation, I think we're on the same page that it's just not the kind of stuff we want to see in the sport, because we want to be covering soccer. We don't want to be covering incidents of hate speech. That's yep. for sure.
And if you want to see what everybody has said, you can check out San Diego Loyal's social media. You can check out Phoenix Rising FC social media. All that stuff has been all over their platform, so you can see what both organizations have said. And I think, and everybody, including the USL Championship, completely in agreement with us, in agreement with really everybody, that hate speech is just not needed. There's no room for it, need for it, and should not be allowed in our sport, and really, frankly, other sports. So USL is continuously investigating this, and so we'll see what they decide. But again, the head coach and the player who allegedly said the slur is on administrative leave. All right, let's transition and let's talk about Sacramento. It's funny, this is the second time recording this. I told you I threw away my notes because we had already recorded this. I didn't think I needed them, so I apologize if I say something that's incorrect, because I did, like I said, I threw away my notes that I took after Wednesday's match. But when we talk about Wednesday's match, the loss against Tacoma, you wrote about it yesterday, and I think you and I have the similar opinion on the fact that that is a match that obviously is not a must win. It's a different type of match. In my opinion, it's a match where Mark Briggs is trying to figure out who he's going to fill his starting 11 with, or even his final 18 with, for playoffs. And it was a match where we saw a lot of young players. Rafa Jauregui was the youngest starter in Sacra Public history. A really cool story there at 15 years old. So a lot of young guys getting opportunities. And again, I think Mark Briggs still looking for the final eight or final 11 and then final 18 that he's going to use in the playoff match. What did you see from Saturday that from Wednesday's match, did you see anything that might help Mark Briggs make those decisions as we go towards playoffs?
Yeah, I think, Frank Lopez getting the start at forward. There was a stretch towards the end of the first half where he really had a spark. He had several good looks. You know, he's a battling forward. That's something that Mark has talked about before. But he also has a knack for goal too when he does get into a rhythm. And he was able to kind of upset Tacoma's defenders, you know, get a few good looks, try for a penalty. Nothing came off in the moment, but there was definitely some promise, and I think that was the best example yet that we've seen, that he can be somebody who can contribute to this team in some capacity in the playoffs. And I think for him, he may not necessarily start, but I think he'll definitely slot his name into that 18 for the playoffs.
He's such an exciting player. He brings so much energy. And for somebody who can come off the bench and bring energy instantly, I think he's that guy who you might see late in the match if Republic is down against most likely Phoenix, who they will be playing next week. And that's also going to be interesting, talking about when the coach and the player are on administrative leave. Who knows what that looks like next week, but we can talk about that at a later date. overall, I think there's a couple things to learn from this match. I've talked about a long time, trying to figure out who's going to be that starting second center back. I think Hayden Sargis has that one on pretty much on lock, the first spot. The second spot up for grabs, Matt Mahoney, Tomas Hilliard-Arce, Dekel Keenan, each guy have kind of rotated in, although Hilliard-Arce's come in situations where Sacramento goes to a back three. And so I'm not 100% sure what Mark Briggs does from here. What are your thoughts on that back line and that second center back spot?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think to me, it seems like a toss up. I would be really surprised if Mark, you know, has the second spot set, you know, wrapped up and knows exactly who he's going to play at this point. I think it's kind of an open competition. And, you know, Dekel had a really good game last time he played at the weekend. Matt hasn't played a ton, but, you know, I think he's been pretty decent when he has played overall. And then Tomas, I think, has been up and down, but he's gotten the lion's share of the minutes. I like a lot about his game. I think he's kind of the kind of anchor that you want to have in the back, the kind of guy that you want to have, you know, first name on the team sheet type guy. But it looks like it's still kind of an open competition. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I'm not really sure how it's going to turn out, because you could see, you could make a case in the playoffs that Dekel gets that spot as the experienced one, as the, like, we have 90 minutes to win a game. Maybe it'll be him. Or maybe he'll go back to Tomas as the guy who's played alongside Hayden for the most part this season. So yeah, we'll see. That's going to be a big question for sure.
And one thing we know about Mark Briggs too is he's not afraid to switch up the lineup. He's not afraid to go with who's hot. He's not afraid to try new things. We've seen him do that. Maybe he's just kind of trying to find his best 11 or his best situation. But as we go to a match Saturday, Sac Republic, again, a match that does not matter as far as where they're going to end on the standings. We know that they're the second seed in Group A behind Reno. And they're playing Portland Timbers too. I would imagine, and you know, when we recorded this the first time around, we both said that it seems like Saturday's probably an opportunity to see, yes, more rotational guys, but maybe try to figure out who that 11 is and get them confident and secure together, get them some chemistry rolling before you head into the playoff games. And you mentioned a good point, again, the first time we recorded this. This is why I'm so bad. I feel terrible because it was so good. As you said that you got to get some confidence going into the playoffs, and I think that's important too. You made a great point on that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm not the coach and I wouldn't presume to be the coach, but were I the coach, that's how I would approach it. I would have something close to my, you know, my top 11 starting in the season finale to try and build some rhythm, some confidence heading into the playoffs. You know, obviously one note to consider is the status of Drew Skundrich. And I think that he's been somebody who's been pretty important all season, and you know, he's served as captain quite a bit this year too. So even if he's not in the lineup, but maybe he would be available for the playoffs, then you know, it may not be the exact 11, but to me that makes sense to try and build that, you know, kind of start to, you know, really reach your peak heading into the playoffs with the one last game to get that tune up. But again, we'll see. I'm obviously not the coach, so we'll see what happens.
I'm not the coach either. I couldn't be farther from being the coach in my job title. So that's okay though. Have full trust in Mark Briggs that he will do what is best for the team. Looking forward to Republic getting a playoff spot. Obviously they've battled all year long and we've had ups and downs the last few matches, a couple draws, now a loss. So what have you seen differently from Sacramento the last few matches than we saw from when they were on the 5-6 game win streak?
Yeah, to me, I think the biggest difference is in attack. It seems like the attack just isn't clicking in the same way that it was during that really hot stretch in the middle of the season. And talking about Drew, I actually think that it sort of dawned on me in hindsight that maybe he was a really key part of that attack. And you wouldn't necessarily think of him as being so important to the attack because he plays midfield, he plays a pretty deep role and is fairly defensive-minded, I think, most of the time. You don't really notice what he's doing unless he's scoring a goal himself, that kind of thing. But with him out of the lineup, they just don't have the same kind of ability to pass the ball around and, like, really get a build-up going. And I think that that's shown a little bit in the past several games. They have had high-scoring games, admittedly, but the attack just doesn't seem like it's flowing in the same way. And, you know, it seems, again, it seems kind of odd to attribute that to Drew, but I do think he does a lot of the stuff that we don't necessarily notice right away in attack. And that may have something to do with why there's a little bit of struggles in that regard right now.
That's a really good point. Drew Skundrich being out, and hopefully he'll be back for the playoffs, is a huge factor. He is a workhorse. He is really a kind of a box-to-box midfielder. We've seen him make runs in the box, but doesn't happen very often. But I think what's interesting is you made a really good point. He does get the ball moving. He moves it from side to side a lot. He may not be the one distributing down the field, but he's the guy who kind of starts the distribution. And that's kind of his role. And I think that's something they have been missing a little bit, especially when the, like you said, the attack hasn't really been clicking. Maybe that's the reason is, and when he gets back into the lineup, maybe that will change. However, if he doesn't, that is also becomes a concern. But Roro Lopez has been playing well. Jaime Villarreal is starting to get consistent minutes, you know, filling in for Rodrigo when he had the red card for Drew now with the injury. And he's gotten a lot of minutes. So I feel comfortable with the midfield. But like I said, obviously Drew being out there is a huge key. Let's talk about the attack a little bit also. Carlton Belmar, to me, will be, and I said this on Tuesday's podcast with Cameron Salerno from the SAC B, I think he'll be the starting striker in the playoffs just because he's been good in that center position, the center striker rather than the wing. And Formella missing yesterday's match, it kind of felt like that was another piece that was missing yesterday. What do you think from your perspective on the attack, the guys you would like to see out there in a playoff match and who will have the most positive effects on the match?
Yeah, it's a really tough call because there's so many options that there's so many guys that you could make a case for. And there's obviously going to be a couple of them who aren't going to be able to be in the 11 and will have to come off the bench. And we've seen Cam in and out of the starting 11. He's come off the bench sometimes to great effect. And he's had some ups and downs in his season. I don't think he's had the goal total that we were probably expecting he was going to have. Carlton, I know a lot was said about him not scoring a lot either, but he has been really, to me, a big surprise as far as setting up goals. Like he's done a really, really good job in facilitating. And even if, you know, he had to wait quite a while to get his first goal himself, I think he was really, really good in, you know, keeping the attack flowing and getting people, you know, to score. And that's an important role in itself. If you're not scoring on your own. There's Villian, there's Derek, and Derek is somebody who I think runs hot and cold, but I think in his absence against Tacoma, we sort of saw that even if he's not, you know, really clicking and getting the ball in the net, he's a guy who's able to put shots on target. And sometimes you just need somebody who's willing to shoot. And at some point, one of those shots is going to go in. You know, so that, I think to me, that maybe was a data point in his favor that he didn't play because the attack really struggled to get the ball on target on Wednesday. And, you know, maybe he'll come right back in and do just fine. So yeah, there's a lot of options. And to me, it's one of those, you know, they always say, people in my position always say it's a good problem to have, you know, so many options when you have so much depth, but it's a dilemma for sure to figure out who is going to be the best option in attack.
Yeah. I mean, and you have Villian Bijev, Sam Werner, who both have been effective at times this year, both can be effective. It almost might be something to where you think about a player who would make the most impact coming off the bench as well. An instant spark. And like Frankie Lopez is a big example of that. I think Cammy Wass has done a really good job when he's come off the bench. And Cammy Wass obviously having experience, that becomes a factor too. But I want to get away from more of the in and outs of players, and I want to talk about more broad USL West Coast. You've covered a lot of teams in the USL Championship in Group A and Group B. You've covered, we can talk about them here in a sec, but if you had to pick a team to come out of the Group A, Group B, the four teams that make the playoffs, what team would you pick?
Yeah, I know you already asked me this question, but it was a tough one to answer. But I went with my gut and said LA Galaxy 2, which I know is probably the fourth team that most people would have picked out of the foursome. But I've been following them all season, covering them too. They're a young team. You know, I think usually with MLS 2 teams, we sort of figure, well, they're going to wilt in the moment. You know, there's no way they can be consistently good, that kind of thing. They've been consistently good this season. They've been able to play in all kinds of game states, you know, down, rack up a huge lead, play in a tight one. They're pretty good both on the road and at home. I just think they're really wily, and with a lot of uncertainty surrounding Phoenix right now for various reasons, and they've been a little more inconsistent than usual. Sacramento, you know, they've been fairly inconsistent as well, and I think that they have a little bit of a tough road here in the playoffs. Not that, you know, they can't do it. Reno's intriguing, but I think there's some holes in their game that they really haven't been exposed as much as maybe, you know, beyond what's happened with Sacramento this season. I feel like they're a little bit there for the taking. And so that's why I picked LA. Now, having said that, I think you can definitely make a case for any of the other three. I think all of them have potential to make a deep run, but you know, if you're saying you got to pick one right now, I'm going to go with the left field pick and say, I actually think LA can really make some noise in the playoffs this year.
I like it. I think Sacramento would probably prefer to play Reno if they both advance, because that would just be one. It would be a lot of fun. And Sacramento's kind of had not their number this year, but they played very well against them. Obviously, being a rivalry match, it would be a lot of fun to watch. All right, quickly. I asked you this question yesterday, and there was very different indicators of what would happen. I was going to ask you if you think Sacramento has an opportunity, has a good chance to beat Phoenix. Now we don't really know what's going to happen with Phoenix with the player and the coach being on administrative leave. So I guess we'll stay away from that for right now, just until we know. But overall, we've seen Sacramento play well on big stretches. They had the 5-6 game win streak. They had 10 games unbeaten, which is, I think, second highest in the team history, club history. We've seen them come back from late, being down late. We've seen them give up early goals, come back quickly. It seems like they have figured out ways to get results, even when they aren't playing very well, even if they have been dealt the best hand. They came back in the game that Roro got the red card, and they were down to 10 men. They were down 1-0, came back and won that match. It just feels like the resiliency of this team and the mental toughness of this team in situations of when they get metaphorically punched in the mouth, they figure out a way to make plays. They figure out a way to somehow get an equalizer. And I just think that bodes well for playoffs. And when we talked about this last time, sometimes scrapping out 1-0 games, it's kind of what playoffs is like in the USL Championship. Do you still think that that is going to have an effect and possibly maybe give Sacramento a little bit of an advantage as we go to these elimination games?
I don't know if it'll give them an advantage just because they'll be playing on the road, at least for the first game, and possibly for the second one as well if they advance. But I do think that it's a good skill to have. Like, it's a good skill to have in your toolkit. Like you said, if you're able to play in that grinded out, tight game state, you know, they're very comfortable in that position. And I think that that's, exactly how playoff soccer is. You know, it's pretty unusual for a game to be 5-0 in the playoffs. So, I think in that regard, that combined with just how many veterans they have on the team overall, I think that those are factors that are beneficial for Sacramento for sure, and reason for Republic FC fans to be confident that they can get a result, even if it's going to be in Phoenix, which is a very difficult game. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't walk in there saying, you know, there's no chance. They absolutely can't do it. I think you can definitely go in there saying they have a chance. Is it going to be easy? No, it won't be easy, but you can definitely go in, you know, feeling that you have a good chance to go toe-to-toe for 90 minutes and you can come out with a result. And basically that's what you want to ask for when you get to the playoffs. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a really, really good game. That's for sure.
Everybody loves the underdog story. And that would be a lot of fun. I think one thing that's interesting too is I think I saw that Reno might be having fans at their home match, their playoff match. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe soon. I don't know about, but that might be an interesting if that ends up happening, I don't know what Arizona's situation is in Phoenix, but if, you know, some of these home teams actually have fans, then it actually turns into maybe even more of an advantage, but we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. I would love to see Reno lose. I don't really care where, as long as they don't get very far. That's all that matters to me. I actually, you know, I think I would prefer to, for Sacramento to beat them than anybody else to beat them. But them losing is just, it feels great all the way around. So
yeah, so you're definitely a company man. We can say that you have your allegiances in just the right
place.
I'm
a homer, yes.
You know, it's definitely Sacramento, of course, and then Reno losing, and that's just the bottom line. Like, if you get those two things, then you're good to go. That's for
yes,
sure.
Yes, that's exactly right. Oh, I'm 100% a homer. I'm a fan. I will admit that. That's why it was so good to get your insight, because people listening to this podcast are probably tired of me keeping things so upbeat and positive in situations where maybe they're wondering, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? In my opinion, I think Sacramento's had a really successful year. I think they're going to have a really good chance in the playoffs, despite not having the top slot in Group A. I'm pretty confident. I really am. But yeah, I like I said, I am a homer. So it is what it is. It is what it is.
I mean, I will say that I think Sacramento's fans have extremely high standards, and that's a really good thing, because mm-hmm. you've seen that the team has, you know, performed reasonably well every single season. Having said that, it's important to keep in mind that they've only lost twice this season so far. Like, that's a good season, no matter how you slice it, really, even if maybe some of the games, it doesn't feel like they're flying, that kind of thing. Only two losses. And it's the weirdest season that any team has ever gone through, right? Like, this is just, to even have gone through what all of us collectively have gone through with the coronavirus shutdown, and then having to wait several months, and then having games come in a pretty rapid clip, have games postponed because of coronavirus positives around the league, and, you know, wildfires going on, like all kinds of external situations happening. It's been a really weird season. And I think if you're taking stock of the season so far, I think there's a lot to hang your hat on and a lot of reason to feel positive about what Sac Republic has done, considering the circumstances. And I think that it's important not to lose sight of that, because it can be really easy to sort of say, well, they didn't score as many goals as I wanted them to. But it's under the circumstances, they're really in kind of a crucible of fire right now. And it's been really impressive to see, you know, how they've performed so far in those circumstances.
For sure. And I think it's also important to state that I think some of the frustrations have come from when Sacramento has played down to opponents that they are better than. That's the Phoenixes, that's the Tacomas in certain instances. And I think that's where some of the frustration comes from. And it's totally understandable, especially when you have the personnel that we have. We probably should be beating the Tacomas, the Portlands, a little bit easier. However, a lot of times we did get results. I know we didn't on Wednesday, but I kind of removed that from play just because of, it didn't seem like it was really a match that was primary. Primary goal to get a win, obviously, but getting guys minutes, getting guys reps, that was a really big goal on Wednesday. So if you take that out, that's one loss on the year, and it was against LA Galaxy 2, who you mentioned as being one of the top teams that you think might make it. So, no, I mean, all great points. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I love elimination games in any sport, elimination soccer. I'm so excited. I'm also nervous. Just because it is elimination soccer. So we're going to be on the edge of our seats the whole time. But, you know, Saturday is going to be a great indicator on what I think what we'll see the following match, but we'll see. Thank you so much, Elisa, for recording this not once, but twice. You've heard my jokes not once, but twice. I try not to repeat them because I feel bad. I just feel bad. But thank you so much for doing this and doing it twice. So thank you.
Yeah, no worries. I told you before we started that you're not a podcaster until you lose an episode because of audio issues. So you are officially a podcaster now. It took this long, but you are definitely in the club now. So
it's going on my Twitter profile. I got to edit it. Officially a podcaster, according to Alicia Rodriguez.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon. Maybe we'll chat next week or the following week, depending on what happens with playoffs.
Sounds good. Thank you again for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming on twice. Thank you. Our thanks to Alicia Rodriguez for coming on the podcast twice. Very, very appreciative. very appreciative of that. Again, if you want to get your playoff fan pack, you can reserve your fan pack now online, sacrepublicfc.com/playoffs. Countdown to playoffs is on. But before that, Republic taking on Portland Timbers 2 on Saturday. You aren't going to want to miss it on KQCA, My 58, 7:30 p.m. kick. It's also on Estrella TV and ESPN Plus to catch the final regular season match of the year against Portland Timbers 2. You can join me on Facebook Live before the match at about 7 o'clock to check out warm-ups and a special surprise for the fans who guess the final score correctly. That's coming up on Saturday on Facebook Live. We thank you for listening to the Breakaway Match Week Edition. Coming up next week, the Breakaway Playoff Edition. Oh man, am I excited. We will see you guys next week. And as always, go Republic!